HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football and men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles, and welcome to our 13th edition of the Talking Hawks podcast exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. It's become a broken record, hasn't it, with the way Iowa's lost games this season. The Hawkeyes are now on a two-game losing streak after falling to Ohio State last weekend at Kinnick Stadium. The final score was 20-17. Once again, it was a late touchdown that put Iowa behind, and then the offense not being able to respond in the closing minutes, just like the previous three losses to Arizona, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. I think what's really got to be gut-wrenching for fans around here is the fact that Iowa was winning this game 17-10 in the fourth quarter. Hawkeyes had all the momentum after Sean Prater recorded that interception to Terrell Pryor, and then Marcus Coker, who, you know, ended up getting the start last Saturday against Ohio State, and is going to be starting again this Saturday against Minnesota. He got the start last week and came in after Prater's interception. In a matter of two plays, went 27 yards, got a touchdown. Hawkeyes were up 17-10. Then Ohio State got a field goal, made it 17-13. Buckeyes got a three and out. Then you had the big play, the 4th and 10, which, you know, talking to some of the guys on the defense after the game, they were saying it wasn't, you know, the effort. They didn't question the effort. It was just a matter of Ohio State being able to execute, and specifically Terrell Pryor being able to execute the run on the 4th and 10, having the awareness to get out of the pocket and scramble for the first down. Led to the Buckeyes scoring a touchdown with Boom Heron down near the goal line. Put Ohio State up 20-17 with a minute 47 left. Iowa had a chance late. Faced a 4th and 21. Stansy did complete a pass to Marvin McNutt, but it only went for 19 yards, not 21. Turned it over on downs. That actually was the only turnover of the game for Iowa. But it's what it lost them the game. And now the Hawkeyes, even though they sit 24th in all the polls and in the BCS standings, find themselves at 7-4 going into Saturday's game up in the Twin Cities. Obviously, there are a lot of high expectations with this team coming into this year, and rightfully so. You know, Iowa's coming off an 11-2 campaign a year ago. They win the Orange Bowl, and you have all this talent coming back. Yet, here they are at 7-4. Big Ten title, completely out of the picture now. I think the best-case scenario for this team is the Outback Bowl. We'll get into the bowl stuff a little bit later. But I got to say, this is a scary game for Iowa against Minnesota this week. Because if you look at the Golden Gophers, yes, they're 2-9, but consider the following. They're coming off a bye week. They're coming off a win on the road at Illinois. Illinois team is bowl eligible now, mind you. They fired Tim Brewster last month after a loss at Purdue. Since Jeff Horton's taken over, it's almost, you know, been a little bit of a different thing. The win-loss record might not indicate it, but there seems to be a different feel around that team. And now they're coming off a win, and they have a little bit of confidence going into this game. You look at Minnesota, the Golden Gophers are playing with house money here. I mean, all they really have, they literally come into this game with nothing to lose, because Floyd Rosedale's on the Iowa sidelines at the moment. Minnesota has nothing to lose and a lot to gain. You know, it's a loose attitude that they're playing with. I expect the Golden Gophers, especially with this being their senior day, this game being the first outdoor game up there between Iowa and Minnesota in about 30 years, I expect the Minnesota to throw pretty much everything but the kitchen sink at this Hawkeye team. That, let's face it, it's down, it's deflated, and you really have to question the psyche of this team going into this game because of the fact that there isn't much to play for. Now, you know, obviously you have the rivalry side of things. Iowa's won the last three meetings. In fact, since Kirk Ferentz became the head coach in 1999, the Hawkeyes' record against the Golden Gophers is 8-3. But, you know, this game, it means a lot. It really does. The rivalry might not be what it once was, but this game means a lot, especially to a guy like Adam Weber, Minnesota quarterback. This is his senior day. This is his final game in that uniform after starting there for 4 years. He's been through a lot. He's been through countless number of offensive coordinators, learning, you know, different playbooks completely year after year after year. And all that leads up to this point. And I'm going to play a little comment for you here that he made to me back in August. This is when I interviewed him at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago back in early August. I asked him about what was going to be going through his mind when this day came, when this game against the Iowa Hawkeyes came. Here's what he had to say.
That's a big one. That's definitely a big one. For it'll be a big one for our whole entire state. You know, regardless of how the season goes, and this is true any given year, regardless of how the season, our schedule or their schedule, that game will always be like our Super Bowl. Or, you know, it's a big one for us. Playing for the Pig, it's a big deal for us. It's not something that I don't think anyone on our team, our fans, take lightly. And I know Iowa fans are excited to get up to our stadium and check it out and try to buy out some of our tickets and make that thing what they call it, Kinnick North. But I know our fans are going to come out and support us, and it's going to be a battle, and I can't wait to be hoisting that pig up. It's heavy. I know that.
You hear that? I can't wait to be hoisting that pig up. I later asked him if that was a guarantee. He said he wasn't going to go all Joe Namath, but let's just read between the lines. This game really matters to him. He wants to win this. The only time that Minnesota's had possession of it while he's been there was year he redshirted. Okay, he hasn't won it. Iowa, the last 2 years, the Hawkeyes have combined score 67-0. They went up to the Metrodome 2 years ago, beat them 55-0. And then last year at Kinnick Stadium, the final was 12-0. So Minnesota hasn't scored a touchdown in 3 years against the Hawkeyes. There's a lot of motivation up there as far as what's at stake for them. Iowa's got to be ready. The Hawkeyes have to be ready. They have to be able to put these close losses aside. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if it really is just a matter of execution, as Coach Ferentz brings up in his press conferences every week. But whatever it is, it's got to change. Things have to change. Iowa has to be able to respond. Because if it doesn't, you give a team like Minnesota life in this game, it's something you got to really be cautious of. You really got to be cautious of this. This is probably going to be our last podcast of the season, with this being Iowa's final game. There might be one next week. I haven't decided yet. Right now, I wouldn't plan on it, but I wouldn't, you know, completely dismiss it either. We will definitely have a Talking Hawks podcast after we all find out what bowl game Iowa is going to, and we'll have plenty of coverage leading up to that game. Again, whatever it may be, whether it's the Outback, the Gator, or even the Insight. Got a great lineup of guests for you today. I have two guests again this time. Last week we had the situation with Ohio State. This week I was fortunate enough to get a Minnesota reporter. His name's Phil Miller. He covers the Gophers for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. But before we get to him, my guest this week on the Iowa side of things is Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, somebody that I have a tremendous amount of respect for in this industry. Don't forget as well, we also have the HawkeyeDrive.com Pick'em this week. Just go to the website, go to the page 24 Heisman Road. You'll just hover over that. You'll see the Pick'em page. Click on that. Have a list of 10 games. Submit your picks to me at HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com. Remember to include a score with your Iowa-Minnesota prediction. I will be using that to break any ties that may exist at the end of the weekend. And I say end of the weekend because I'm including Friday games this week, because there are some pretty good games on Friday. As a result of that, however, I also moved up the deadline. The deadline to submit picks this week is Friday at midnight. Central Time. So 1 a.m. in the East, 11 p.m. on Thanksgiving, you know, the Denver area, or 10 p.m. out in L.A. or if you're out in California. I'm doing that, so obviously we have picks in before those Friday games start. Because, again, this is a great week in football. This is a great week for football, especially at the college level, where most of these games that are going on are rivalries. I'll give you my picks later at the end of this, as I always do. But right now, when we come back, I will be joined by Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and later Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. My guest this week from Iowa. You had to know that this was coming eventually. I got from Cedar Rapids Gazette, Mark Morehouse. Mark, how you doing?
Great. Hanging in there. It's beautiful to be in the dome.
Well, yeah, we're in the bubble right now doing this. Just want to get your take here. When you look back at last week's game between Iowa and Ohio State, once again, the defense gave up a late drive in the fourth quarter, ended up being the difference. What do you attribute the struggles on the defense being? Is it simply execution like Coach Ferentz talks about, or do you think that maybe there is something mental going on?
I don't think it's mental, but I think the offense could help them out with a few more third down conversions. I don't know what that stat is in the fourth quarter, but when Tyler Sashes, and he says it every week, and I agree with him, that when the defense doesn't get off the field on third and fourth down, it kills them. And in fourth quarters this season, they're four losses. I think it's 14-26 on third and fourth down. So that's 61%, and that's a losing number. And but it all goes together. And the offense, if the offense holds the ball a little more, then they're not. I think. What did Northwestern score? The minute 20 left.
I think so.
Ohio
like
State scored the minute 47 left. Mm-hmm. A couple first downs on that minute four. I mean, then they're running a 2-minute drill, and then all the pressure's on the other team.
When you look at this team now being 7-4, obviously the expectations coming into this season were pretty high. How would you describe the mindset of this team now, coming off, you know, another close loss, the fact that they're obviously not going to win the Big Ten, and they're probably looking at best at going to the Outback Bowl again?
Well, I think this week is, and I hate to use this word in a college setting, but this week questions will test their professionalism. You know, are they a proud team? Are they, you know, do they look at it as a job? Are they going to punch in this week? Because Minnesota's up there just partying, because the ship is sunk. It's at the bottom of the ocean. They have nothing to play for, and they know it, but they're still playing hard. They still have the talent to beat Iowa. This week is just going to test how professional Iowa and how business-like Iowa takes this week. They can't float into it. It's been a white-knuckle ride every game, it seems like, because they've been playing to stay in the Big Ten title. They've been in a playoff for 5 weeks, and they haven't broken. You know, do they break this week? Is there something that could make it, you know, weird up there in Minnesota? I think there is. I think they've got to be on guard.
Now, part of the reason why I waited until now to have you come on is because I know back in the summer you had a thing, you were testing people out wanting to know what rivalry they would have preferred to have at the end of the year, because you had Iowa and Minnesota always kind of being the case, and then obviously this is the last time that's going to happen,
right?
At least for the foreseeable future. You don't really see this as much of a rivalry anymore, do you? Considering, you know, Iowa's 1-8 the last time.
No, I do not at all. I think that this is a real I think it's a lot of loyalty. I mean, the old school. I mean, once they put face masks on helmets, mm-hmm. this rivalry went to crap. I mean, it was the first half of it without face masks, all Minnesota. Second half, I think, is more Iowa, probably 60-40 Iowa. Now it's 100% Iowa. I mean, 2006 was Minnesota's last win, and that was a fluky type deal. I think Iowa should be playing Wisconsin in the finale. I think that this fits. It's what it should be. But I like the Nebraska thing. I like this. I think it's going to be a good rivalry. I think fans will love it.
How do you feel it changes things having this game over Thanksgiving week? I know, obviously, in the past, Ferentz has been vehemently opposed to having this game. But, you know, on Tuesday he said, I'm going to go with it now.
Mm-hmm. It's, once again, a test of professionalism. Mm-hmm. You know, they could punch out, sit around and watch football. But, no, I like the fact that they're practicing on Thanksgiving Day. That's pretty awesome. And that tells me that, hey, you know, we're serious about football this week. It's not all while sitting around being with family, and even though the rest of the world is, and that's hard to block out mentally, but I think it's a huge deal to just to fight through that, punch through that. And I think I like the business-like approach. And again, this is test their professionalism. And I hate to use that word for college kids, mm-hmm. but there's a certain amount of that, an element of that in college football.
Just a few more quick questions here. Obviously, the big news coming from yesterday on the TD was release is that Marcus Corker will indeed be starting, especially with Adam Robinson. I believe it's a concussion again. I'm sure you think it is.
Yeah. It is.
How do you feel that changes things as far as what they want to do with running the football? Because he ended up getting the start last week, and right. he looked pretty good against yeah. Ohio State.
He's a big kid who makes one cut and goes, and I don't think Minnesota will be able to deal with that. I mean, they're allowing, I think, 5.4 yards of carry. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Something in that neighborhood. If Iowa punches in and just does that, it's a win. It's a win, and it's not even going to be close. But Iowa hasn't done that. There's nothing the last 3 weeks. Iowa should be going into this game on a three-game losing streak. But I think Coker, I think is good for the future. Does Wager come back next year? Does Jewel come back 100%? Does Zayrob come back? You know, he's got a concussion, second one in less than a month. That's a big deal. I mean, he's looking at some exertion cut down. He's looking at some real rehab here and maybe some worry. But, you know, Farron said he wasn't worried. So I like Coker. I think, is he the back of the future? I don't know. They're trying to get Rodney Coe. They're trying to get, I think that's that guy's name.
Yeah.
They've got Melvin Gordon. They're trying to keep Melvin Gordon. Those are both big backs. So I think Ferentz is tired of the kind of the Oompa Loompa type guys. But we'll see. I think Coker right now has been very promising. I'm still trying to figure out, University of Iowa, I don't believe, and you may be able to answer this question better than I can, they don't have astrophysics anywhere, do they, here?
I don't think they do.
That's Iowa State. Iowa State has aerospace engineering, and I think that's what he's talking about, unless it's astrology, and I don't think that's a major here either.
Yeah, have a Coker and smile, right?
Yeah, there you go, yeah. That's weak.
I'll get you out of here on two questions here.
Sure.
Because I think you and I agree Iowa should win this game. Assuming that is the case, what bowl do you eventually project this team ending up in? And secondly, how are you going to be spending your Thanksgiving?
I think Iowa ends up in the Gator Bowl right now. I think the Big Ten will kind of muscle that to happen. Mm-hmm. Although I don't see the Outback passing on Penn State, just because.
Even if Penn State loses,
if they lose, maybe. If they lose, maybe. And I think they could lose. But I think people are downplaying how good Michigan State is, but they've only won there once in like the last 7 years, something like that. I think Iowa still ends up in the Gator. I think the possibility. I mean, Joe Pa said today he's coming back, but I still think there's a possibility that something could happen with his health.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. So I think the possibility that they play in the Outback will maybe get his last game. Maybe that's a ratings bump. I don't know. And then I think the Gator is kind of a wild card. I think the Gator will still take Iowa. I think the Big Ten will kind of make them because Iowa did beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. But will the Gator have another shot at Michigan again? If things take off in Michigan, no. But if things stay the same, I don't know. Yeah. But I think Iowa, Gator is a logical one. But, you know, if the Gator says, screw it, we're taking Michigan, yeah, look at the insight.
Yeah. And then just
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I forgot. Dubuque. Going to go to my parents' house in Dubuque. I haven't been there in like 8 months, so I got to get back there. Kids, a bunch of cousins, a bunch of loudness. I'll probably fall asleep. And then I'll get in the car at noon. No, we're leaving at 1:30 Friday for Minnesota, last road trip, last game of the year.
Well, Mark, have a good Thanksgiving. Thank you very much for coming on this week. I really appreciate it. It's Mark Morehouse in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'm pleased to be joined this week by Phil Miller, who covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Phil, how's it going?
It's really, really cold. How's it going there?
Things seem to be all right down here. I take it the weather, it's supposed to be really cold then on Saturday.
Yes, it's going to be cold. It's going to be roughly around 30 degrees, although it does not at the moment look like it's going to snow.
Well, that's good to hear. I guess I'll start off by asking you here with Minnesota, just how you would summarize how the season's gone, because obviously it's been really shaky between, you know, the loss to South Dakota and then Tim Brewster getting fired last month, and now sitting here at 2-9 entering this week's game against Iowa. Just what's been your take?
It's been an absolute disaster from start to finish. One thing after another has befallen them. The father of their starting fullback went into a coma just before the season opener and died right after it. The son of the defensive coordinator and a walk-on wide receiver was diagnosed with leukemia after the third week of the season. They lost to South Dakota. They lost to Northern Illinois. They have lost every home game this year. And until they finally pulled the trigger on October 17th, every story was about Tim Brewster and the fans booing him and when would he be fired. And it has just been one thing after another. I tell you what, I did not expect them to win the game they won at Illinois a week and a half ago. That was totally out of the blue because it's just been that kind of a season. They really showed a lot of heart in winning that, but there really is virtually no way to put much of a positive spin on how it's gone.
You touched on their win against Illinois, and obviously Minnesota's coming off a bye week. How would you describe just like the attitude and the mindset of this team since winning that game and, you know, having had this week to kind of get this extra week, if you will, to get ready for Saturday's game against Iowa?
Oh, 180 degrees. And, you know, there have been a lot of complaints around the Gophers. Tim Brewster complained a lot during the season that the bye week came at such a terrible time. They played 11 straight games and then a bye week and then won. But, you know, as it turned out, the bye week came at the perfect time because they just got to feel good about themselves for an extra week. That win was so remarkable. You know, they led by 10.5. And gave up two touchdowns in the second half without even touching the ball. Mm-hmm. They just gave the lead right back, and everybody said, well, here we go. This game's over. They fought through it and came back and then fell behind by 10 again with 8 minutes to go, and everybody said, well, that's it. They're done. And they fought back, and they scored two touchdowns, the last with 16 seconds to play, to pull off a win that neither I or really anybody around the program, except maybe the players and coaches themselves, thought they could handle. So it really gives them a lot more confidence coming into this game. There's no way that they thought that they could win against Iowa before that game against Illinois. And now I think there's quite a bit of optimism around the program. It's just remarkable what that one game changed in their mental makeup.
How would you describe just the role that Coach Horton has played since he took over for Brewster? Because I feel like the team's definitely there's been a positive vibe with him since he's been on hand, even though the results maybe don't necessarily show it. But it looks like the players are playing for him.
No, absolutely. And he did a really good job. You know, the pressure was so intense when in the last few days of Tim Brewster. He was under such pressure, and there was so much negativity around the program. You know, they were getting booed in their stadium, the Fire Brewster chants. He had really become the focal point. And with him gone, really, Coach Jeff Horton has done a great job of lightening the mood, of saying, look, we're just going to have fun. We're just going to finish the season. We're going to play hard, and we're going to coach hard. Nobody's given up, even though the entire coaching staff knows that come next Monday, they're all fired. You know, that the new coach will bring in a new staff. But they have worked just as hard, and the schedule kind of turned on them. Jeff Horton had to coach against Ohio State and against Michigan State, and you know, against Iowa. So it hasn't been easy, but it's just a whole different atmosphere. The defensiveness and the negativity surrounding Tim Brewster has really been lifted, and it's been a breath of fresh air.
You mentioned the optimism that you've noticed around the team lately, just looking at this Saturday's game against Iowa. How important do you feel that this game is, considering the fact that it is the Florida Rosedale is on the line and the fact that Minnesota hasn't won it in 4 years?
Yeah, you know, Adam Weber has never won a trophy game. They've never beaten Wisconsin since he's been here. They've never beaten Penn State, and they haven't beaten Iowa, and they haven't scored the last couple of years against Iowa. So it from that standpoint, it would mean a lot to them. You know, from the school standpoint, really, I think there's a general feeling of, well, let's get this over with and get on to the new era. This is, you know, this is really the end point, and hopefully within a week or a week and a half, there'll be a new coach here, and they can begin anew. But for the players themselves, and specifically for Adam Weber, who has had a career of regret. He's just been the rock of the program and is going to go down as one of the losingest players in quarterbacks in college football history. He really doesn't deserve it. The win against Illinois was really nice reprieve for him and for the team, and they really would like to get a rivalry game for him.
And you talk about Adam, and I guess the question I would want to ask you with him is, how has he handled all of, like, the negativity that's surrounded this program in the last few years especially?
Yeah, just unbelievably. He is he's more professional than all the professional athletes I have covered in my career. It is just remarkable. You know, he was offered a scholarship to Wisconsin and came very close to accepting it there. He would essentially be Scott Tolzien this year, be probably headed to a Rose Bowl. Instead, he came, hitched his wagon to Tim Brewster, went through four offensive coordinators in his 5 years here. You know, they never put a competitive team around him, and he has never said a negative word about the program or situation. He's talked about what a learning situation it is, and he has been an unbelievable spokesman for the athletic department. I was talking to the athletic director today, and he said, I don't know what we're going to do without Adam Weber, because he puts a positive face on everything. And, you know, during the season, the crowds, the fans became restless. They wanted to see the backup quarterback. You know, let's see next year's quarterback. And you know, Adam didn't let him get that down. He even said, you know, they have good reason to see who the, you know, next year's quarterback. So can't say enough about what he's meant to the program and how much he deserves a whole lot better than he's gotten out of Minnesota football.
I'll give you a couple more questions here. As far as Saturday's game goes specifically, how do you feel the Golden Gophers match up, and what do you feel they need to do in order to pull off that upset?
Well, you'd have to say they need to score, because that has been their big problem against Iowa. They haven't scored since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will. I have trouble picturing them scoring enough to beat Iowa. They are depending an awful lot on the Hawkeyes letting down after after the disappointing November they've had. You know, on paper, Iowa is just a far, far better team. They need to get a running game going, which has been hit and miss. But mostly they need to get the ball to their big top guys, who are Marquise Gray and Dejon McKnight, their wide receivers. Those two guys are the strength of this team. If you get them into the open field, well, Dejon McKnight has 10 touchdown receptions this year. That's where they do the most damage, so that's going to be the critical thing.
And my final question for you here, I won't obviously ask you to name any names because I really feel like it's anyone's guess, but I'm sure a lot of people down here in Iowa as well as up in Minnesota are curious to get your take on just how you feel the coaching situation is going to eventually unfold. Like, how long do you think it will be before a coach is named, and what type of guy do you feel is going to end up in the position of coaching Minnesota next year and beyond?
What they're looking for. They want a sitting head coach, someone with experience. You know, when they hired Tim Brewster, he had never been a head coach or a coordinator before. They're not going to repeat that mistake. They want someone who almost certainly is coaching right now, coaching another team. And when you start from that standpoint, the list narrows pretty quickly. You know, the names you hear a lot are Kevin Sumlin at Houston, Troy Calhoun at Air Force, Brady Hoke at San Diego State, Al Golden at Temple. Those seem to be the logical candidates. They want somebody, hopefully, who can come in and kind of follow the Iowa-Wisconsin blueprint. Let's play physical. Let's try to build a defense and a running game. You know, we can't compete with Ohio State and Michigan as far as athleticism. So let's, you know, let's try to find a coach who can build a power game. And I think someone doesn't really fit that. He's got Minnesota ties, so. But the other three, you know, they really fit that kind of mold, and I would not be at all surprised if the next coach is one of those three or four guys.
It's Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Phil, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'd like to thank both Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune for being my guests this week, and I really appreciate them taking the time out to talk with the holiday coming up tomorrow and whatnot. Before I give you my picks for this week's HawkeyeDrive.com pick, just a reminder, you can participate as well. All you got to do, again, is go to our website. Hover over the page 24 Heisman Row. That's basically my football archive, where I keep all my all the content I've put together regarding the football team over the past season plus. Go to the page where it says pick 'em. You have a list of 10 games. Submit your picks to me at HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com. Remember to include a score with your Iowa-Minnesota prediction. I will be using that to break any ties that may exist. And also, real quickly, before I mention, we have the deadline, which is 12 a.m. on Friday, Central Standard Time. Before I get into my picks, I want to just give a shout-out real quick to Robert Brown, a subscriber to my site, to the site here, HawkeyeDrive.com. He won the pick'em last week. He went 9-1, but here's why I'm bringing it up. The only game he got wrong was the Iowa-Ohio State game. And the score he gave me was 17-13 Iowa, which is what the score was before the Buckeyes took the lead there in the final 2 minutes. So he was awfully close to not only going 10-0, but also for nailing the score, if there was anybody else that, for whatever reason, ended up with the same record. So, Rob, congratulations on winning last week. Now I'll give you my picks. We'll start with the three games on Friday, which are all, at least this first one's going to be a great game. Number 2, Auburn. Number 9, Alabama. The Iron Bowl. This is one of the best rivalries there is in college football. Auburn, we all know what's at stake for them. They're 11-0. They're going to be playing in the SEC championship game next week regardless against South Carolina. Meanwhile, this is Alabama's final game until Crimson Tide play in a bowl. They would love to spoil Auburn's season here, with the Tigers having an inside track to the BCS National Championship game. I know it's in Tuscaloosa, and I know, obviously, there's a ton of distractions surrounding this Auburn team, but I'm going to assume Cam Newton's going to play. And with that in mind, even though this is in Tuscaloosa, I like the Auburn Tigers to win and be 12-0 entering that game with the Gamecocks next week in Atlanta, with a BCS National Championship game berth at stake. So I'm going to take Auburn to win the Iron Bowl. Number 20, Arizona visits number 1, Oregon. I really don't see this being much of a contest, to tell you the truth. Arizona's lost two games in a row now to Stanford and USC. Oregon Ducks, on the other hand, they're coming off a bye week and a scare down in Berkeley 2 weeks ago against Cal. But I expect this Oregon team, especially with this being the Ducks' final home game, I expect them to just be firing from start to finish. I like Oregon big. Number three, Boise State. This is the AP poll again. Number three, Boise State visiting number 19, Nevada. This game's for the WAC championship, basically. But there's obviously a lot more at stake for the Broncos here. This is a game that, should Boise State win, will likely move them ahead of TCU in the BCS standings. And also, let's say Alabama does beat Auburn. This opens the door for Boise State to go to the national championship game on January 10th. I know it's in Reno, and I know Nevada is a really good offense, but I'm going to take Boise State to win this game and move to 11-0 and, you know, be that team on the outside waiting, just waiting for either Auburn or Oregon to slip up. So I like the Broncos. You know I had to include this game, even though it's been a lopsided series over the past few years. Michigan and Ohio State. The Buckeyes are ranked 8th in the country, obviously 10-1. And at stake for Ohio State here is a share of what would be its 6th consecutive Big Ten crown. That's an impressive feat for that team and for that coach, Jim Tressel. Michigan, on the other hand, don't know what the situation is going to be with Rich Rodriguez yet. There's been speculation out there that this could be his last game should Michigan lose. Even though the Wolverines are 7-4 and going to be going to a bowl game, they're just not beating the teams that are clearly better than them. And that was my concern when I looked at this Michigan team at the beginning of the year. I saw games that I just did not think they had a chance of winning, no matter how improved they were. And this game is really no different. I expect Ohio State to come out swinging. I like the Buckeyes at home and get that share of the Big Ten title and likely playing in a BCS game, whether it's a Sugar or Orange remains to be seen. But I like Ohio State. Sparty also can play for a share of the Big Ten crown, maybe even win it. Michigan State is number 11 in the country right now. But they're traveling to Happy Valley to take on Penn State, who right now has an identical record as Iowa, 7-4 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten. I'll get into why that's significant later. But Michigan State, obviously a share of the Big Ten crown. If Michigan were to upset Ohio State and then the Spartans were to pull off this game in Beaver Stadium, green and white will be going to Pasadena no matter what happens in the Wisconsin game. Michigan State would have the head-to-head on Wisconsin. Sparty would be smelling roses. That said, I like Penn State to win this game at home. Now, here's a game that y'all might want to keep an eye on here if you're thinking Iowa's going to go to the Outback Bowl. Number 6 LSU, number 12 Arkansas. The winner of this game, if it's LSU, the Tigers are definitely going to a BCS Bowl. If it's Arkansas, the Razorbacks just might get an invite to the Sugar Bowl should Auburn play for a national championship. Whether or not it happens remains to be seen. But the reason why I say this game's intriguing is because if LSU does win, which I'll go on record right now and say I think the Tigers are going to go into Arkansas and win this game, the Razorbacks are a likely candidate from the SEC to be playing in the Outback Bowl. And the reason why that's significant is if Iowa ends up there, Arkansas would be the opponent. And you'd have a ton of storylines, especially with the quarterbacks, with Ricky Stanzi for the Hawkeyes, Ryan Mallett for the Razorbacks. Again, I like LSU to win this game. Don't ask me why. I know it's a road game, but I like the Tigers. Number 21, North Carolina State takes on Maryland. The Wolfpack are 8-3, 5-2 in the ACC's Atlantic Division. And Maryland is in the Atlantic Division as well, 7-4 overall, 4-3 in conference play. This game's significant because if NC State wins, the Wolfpack have the tiebreaker on Florida State, and they would be the ones playing Virginia Tech in the ACC title game next week, not the Seminoles. However, if Maryland wins, it would be Florida State going up to Charlotte to take on the Hokies. I like NC State. I like this quarterback, Russell Wilson. I know it's in College Park, but I'm going to take the Wolfpack to win. And it's going to be NC State playing basically in front of a home crowd against the Hokies next week. Number five, Wisconsin. Again, like Michigan State and Ohio State, playing for a Big Ten championship. They get Northwestern at home. Wildcats obviously don't have Dan Persa, and they're coming off a pounding from Illinois last week at Wrigley Field. I like the Badgers to win this game because it is in Camp Randall, and given the scenarios I've picked with Ohio State and Penn State winning, this game, this victory would put the Badgers in Pasadena. So I like Wisconsin to win, and I like Wisconsin to represent the Big Ten in the 2011 Rose Bowl. But then the big game Saturday night, Bedlam, number 14 Oklahoma, number 10 Oklahoma State. The winner of this game likely to be playing in the Big 12 championship game next week. If it's Oklahoma State, the Cowboys definitely are. If it's the Sooners, it would create a three-way tie in the division, assuming A&M takes care of Texas on Thanksgiving. But right now, I think just the way that that would stack up, I would think Oklahoma would be the team going. All that being said, I think this is the time you're going to finally see it. I like the Cowboys to win this game at home. Oklahoma, they were my pick at the beginning of the year to go to the national championship game. Just kind of falling off for whatever reason. And the Cowboys have been hot this entire year. Aside from the one loss to Nebraska, this has been a really solid football team. Mike Gundy's done a heck of a job down there. I like Oklahoma State to win this game and represent the Big 12 South in the Big 12 title game next week at Jerry World. So give me the Cowboys. Finally, Florida Rosedale, number 24, Iowa, Minnesota Golden Gophers. Obviously, like I said before, Minnesota's playing with house money here. Nothing to lose with a 2-9 record and a new coaching regime coming in as early as next week. The Hawkeyes, you know, really it's pride, it's a pig, and it's positioning for a bowl game on the line here. I like the Hawkeyes to win this game, and I'm going to pick the score to be 30-10. I think the Hawkeyes' offense will finally open up here against the Minnesota defense that has struggled throughout the season. I think there's going to be a lot of openings in the middle of the field, and I think Marcus Coker is going to have a big game. I really do. That being said, you look at the bowl picture here. I have Penn State beating Michigan State, which is significant. And you have Penn State and Iowa both finishing 8-4. I know Iowa has the head-to-head here, but assuming that happens, you heard Mark Morehouse say that he thinks Iowa's going to the Gator Bowl. I agree with Mark, especially if this scenario happens. I definitely agree with him, and I'm going to tell you why. Think back to 2 years ago when the Hawkeyes played in the Outback Bowl against South Carolina. Iowa started the 2008 season 3-3. Iowa then won five of its remaining six games to finish 8-4 and get that invite to Tampa. And this was despite the fact that they had the same record as a Northwestern team who came into Kinnick Stadium and beat them head-to-head. Fast forward to this year. Penn State started this season 3-3. One of those three losses was here in Iowa City to the Hawkeyes back on October 2nd. The Nittany Lions beat the Spartans on Saturday. That's 5 out of 6 for Penn State. And at the very worst, they're going to have the same record as Iowa. Now, last year, the Hawkeyes, I really feel benefited from the head-to-head is because of the fact it was a BCS bowl game making the decision. For a big game like that, I would hope the head-to-head would play a factor. And fortunately for Iowa, it did. And the Hawkeyes went to the Orange Bowl, and then we all know what happened down there. They beat Georgia Tech pretty handily. The Outback Bowl is different. They don't have to look at head-to-head. They normally don't. They don't have to even, you know, look at record, really. If, let's say, Penn State loses, or let's say Iowa loses, and they and these two teams finish with different records, they could still pick Penn State. And my guess is, even though Paterno said earlier in the week that he doesn't plan on retiring after this season, I have to think that that's going to play a factor. That and the fact that Iowa's been to the Outback Bowl three times over the past 8 years. So at the end of the day, if you had to point a gun to my head right now and ask me what bowl game I think Iowa's going to go to, my prediction would be, as of today, November 24th, 2010, I would say that the Hawkeyes are going to head to Jacksonville and play in the Gator Bowl, and the likely opponent for that game would probably be the Florida Gators, who are having a really disappointing year down in Gainesville. But again, that's pure speculation on my part. I say that, and I also caution you, don't just start buying, you know, airfare to Jacksonville or anything like that just yet, because who knows? Maybe the Outback Bowl decides, you know what? We really like Iowa. We're going to pick Iowa. Like I said, I think it's going to be either the Outback Bowl or the Gator Bowl. There's a slight chance of the Insight Bowl, as Mark mentioned, should Michigan, for whatever reason, get picked. But let's say the rumors surrounding Rich Eyed are true. I just don't know if either the Outback or Gator Bowl is going to want a Michigan team dealing with that sort of situation. So I think the safer bet would be to go with the Hawkeyes, especially when they've beaten both Penn State and Michigan head-to-head. So, yeah, like I said, I think it's the Gator Bowl, but then again, you know what? Things can happen between now and then. Who knows? Maybe the Outback Bowl really will pick Iowa. It remains to be seen. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Talking Hawks podcast. Again, I'd like to thank Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. To those of you planning to make the trip up to the Twin Cities this weekend to TCF Bank Stadium to see Iowa take on Minnesota, hopefully you have a safe trip up there as well as a safe trip home. Be very careful driving in the weather. It's supposed to be pretty cold up in the Twin Cities, as Phil was mentioning. And most importantly, on behalf of HawkeyeDrive.com, I just want to wish all of you, whether you are a subscriber to my site or not, I just would like to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the weekend. And we may or may not be back next week. We will definitely have another podcast for sure after the bowl game is announced. If there is one next week, I'll let you know. Again, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the holiday, everyone.